Now follow me very, very carefully. God, 61 and a half years ago, created me. I was his creature. And that was all that was necessary until I realized that I was a sinner and I could understand and comprehend right and understand and comprehend wrong. However, God wanted to be more to me than just a creator. And God wanted me to be more to him than just his creature. So God came to me and offered me a wonderful story, the most wonderful story I've ever heard. Somebody told me that all of us are sinners. Somebody told me that sinners are under the condemnation of Almighty God. Somebody told me that Jesus had suffered our condemnation for us. And somebody told me that by simple reception of his gift of eternal life, and Jesus as my hope for heaven, I could have everlasting life and become one of God's people. So, from one of God's creatures, I added, or to one of God's creatures, I added another relationship. Don't miss me now. I added a second relationship. And that is, I became one of his people. Now, God wasn't satisfied just with that. God said, I want us to have something even more than that. I'm glad that you're one of my creatures. I'm glad that by trusting me as your Savior, you become one of my people. But God said, there's something else I want to be. God said, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. So he told me how I could become his friend. John 15 and verse 14, I think it is. God said, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And the great commandment of God is to go into all the world and preach the gospel or teach all nations and get people saved. So I became a soul winner. When I became a soul winner, I became a friend of my God. You see, just to be my creator was not enough. And just to have me as one of his people was not enough. God wanted me to be his friend. No wonder we sang a while ago, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Well, but that wasn't enough. God said, I want something else. Now, I'm laying a foundation for the sermon, so please follow it. God said, you are my creature. That's wonderful. But that I want something else. God said, now you are one of my people. Now, I want you to notice this. He did not substitute one for the other. I'm still one of God's creatures. So, in addition to that, God added a second relationship. I became one of his people. But God said, that still doesn't satisfy me totally. I want you to be my friend. And so he, to whom I was a creature, to whom I added becoming one of his people, to whom I added becoming his friend. But God says, there's something else I want. I want to treat you like a son treats a child. I want you to be to me like I'm your papa. I want you to be like one of my young'uns. I want our relationship to be as papa and child, or father and son. And I said, God, how can I be that? And he said, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will be to you as a father, and you will be to me as a son. Now follow me carefully. God, my creator, I his creature. God, my God, I one of his people. God, my friend, I his friend. God, my father, in the father relationship, and he my papa, my Abba father, and I his child. Now, herein lies our problem as human beings. Now, this is the sermon. We do not add new relationships to the old ones with people we love. The relationship becomes stale, and we tire of it. Because hear this statement, no one relationship between two human beings can stay fresh for a lifetime. No one relationship. See, we have a short attention span. That's why many husbands and wives go apart. Because when they cease to be lovers, they have nothing to... when the lover part needs to add something to it sometime. And I'll get to that after a while. But I'm saying that if all you are to your relationship is the one thing for a lifetime, it'll grow stale. But God says, I want relationships to add new hues to them. I want there to be a new advantage or new relationship between people. For example, I can illustrate better than I can teach it, I think. Let's take a mother. A mother has a daughter, and that daughter is her child. Now, that relationship grows stale if something isn't added to it. If that daughter is 17 years of age and she's still mama's little girl, then the relationship grows stale. So what happens? Somewhere in there, that mother and daughter need to become like sisters. Now, don't leave me. That doesn't mean that they shouldn't be mother and daughter. The daughter still should obey the mother. And the mother still should have the respect that a mother deserves. But somewhere in the teen years, a mother and a daughter should become like sisters in some respects. They ought to have fun together. They ought to enjoy being together. They ought to enjoy talking to each other on the telephone. And they should become like sisters. Now, here's what your trouble, Mama. Mama, here's your trouble. You're trying to keep that one relationship, mother, daughter, mother, daughter, mother, daughter. But that relationship changes after a while if you're wise. There's something added to it. A new dimension is added to it. And now you are her mother and you are her sister. Later on, something else happens. As you become a sister for a while, you enjoy being with each other. Maybe you go bowling together. Maybe you learn to sew together. Maybe you go out to eat several times a week together. Maybe you go to McDonald's together. Maybe you enjoy playing some kind of a home table game together, like shooting craps or something like that. And maybe you just want to see if you're listening, that's all. Every once in a while, I'll have to check, see if you're still there. And you have a table game. Now, you know, one day, all of a sudden, as you have been mother-daughter from birth, now you have become a sister, older sister, younger sister, as you enjoy each other in an added relationship, all of a sudden, you look at her and you say, I love that gal. And she looks at you and she says, what a wonderful mother I have. And the friend relationship is added to the sister relationship. Don't you see what I'm saying? And actually, it's like a lamp. You turn on the lamp, and it turns on. But you turn it again, and it gets brighter. You turn it again, and it gets brighter. And so here's a mother, has a daughter. She can't keep that daughter under her thumb till she's 75 years old. She can't do that. So what happens is there comes a time when that mother, listen to me now, when that mother and that daughter become like sisters. Not relinquishing the mother-daughter relationship. Not letting the daughter treat her mother just like a sister, but to become somewhat like sisters. I'm thinking about mothers and daughters now. The daughters are married. And they talk on the telephone and they call and say, Mama, would you help me know how to make... Are you listening to me now? Are you listening to me? Everybody, right this way. I'm preaching to everybody. You need what I'm saying as well as anybody else does. So look at me. Here we go. The daughter calls her mother and says, Mama, how do you make pizza a la mode? Would you give me the recipe you've got for pizza a la mode? And I don't know if that's any good or not, but I love pizza and I love a la mode. And so you get a la mode with pizza. Now, I think if I had my choice, I'd rather have the a la mode than the pizza. But look, they're like sisters, and that's what it ought to be. Then what happens? They become friends. Now, wait a minute. The years pass. This mother and daughter have become as close as sisters. And then that sister relationship added to the mother and daughter relationship leads into a wonderful friend relationship. I'm thinking about a young lady who said the other day, I was counseling with her, and a senior in high school, senior appointment, and I said, let me ask you a question. Who's your best friend? And I meant, you know, who's your crowd at school? I said, who's your best friend? And tears came in her eyes, her lips quivered, and she said, my mama, of course. My mama. My mama. Now, how did her mama become her best friend? By spanking her when she was 19? By grounding her on her honeymoon? I mean, What am I saying? I'm saying, I don't know what I'm saying, but I've got to speak till 12 o'clock, folks, and the Bible says it. And but I'm saying that this is what your trouble is. You live a whole lifetime with the same relationship, mama, daughter, obey mama, do what mama says, I'm your mama, don't breathe unless I give you permission, and it's always that when the daughter is 40 years old and the mama is 65, it's always that. But I tell you how you can have a sweet relationship with your daughter as long as you live and as long as she lives. If you are her mother and she's your daughter, and then there comes a day when you become just good sisters. And because you have fun together, and you ought to have some hobbies with each other, and you have fun together, and you enjoy each other, one day you look at each other and you say, you know what we are? We're friends. And then the years pass, and mama gets old, and mama perhaps becomes a little senile, and then the daughter becomes like a mother. And you've gone the full cycle. Now that's the way you can stay close in your mother-daughter relationship. Let me illustrate again. Here's a mother and a son. There ought to be a time when that son becomes a certain age, maybe 11, maybe 12, maybe 13, when there is a new dimension added to that relationship of mom and son. And that dimension ought to be pal. I remember when I was a boy, my mama became my pal. My mama wasn't going to let me just be her little boy all of her life. She became my pal. She'd come home after a hard day's work, worn out, and she'd say, son, let's play some Chinese checkers. And my mama and I'd play Chinese checkers, and I thought she was having fun. I guess she was. I don't know, but that's not the issue. I became her pal. I wasn't just her son. I was her pal. Oh, let me tell you. If we'd work on our human relationships as much as we work on our cars, we'd have better human relationships. I'm simply saying if you'd work on writing your relationship with your friends and loved ones as much as you do on watching your television set, we'd have some good human relationships. But there needs to come a day when that sweet dear mother and that boy become pals. And then they add later on, that boy becomes a friend. Now, wait a minute. Later on, that boy becomes like a big brother. Listen to me. Hey, listen to me. Later on, like a big brother. And then later on, like a father. I know what I'm talking about. If ever a little boy had a mother to love him, I did. If ever a boy was taught how to love by his mother, I was. When I became an old 10, 11, 12 years old, my mom and I became pals. When I got to around 16 or 17, my mama was my best friend, and I knew it. And then my mama, who was 40 years old when I was born, they say that people who are born in the latter years of childbearing age for women are more brilliant. And, of course, I am living proof of that fact. But I can prove that. Brother Jorgensen was born, his mother was 17. But I'm saying that I know what it is to have a mother who was my mother and I her boy. And I saw that relationship turn to a pal relationship. And I saw that pal relationship turn to a best friend relationship. And I saw that best friend relationship turn to a big brother relationship. There came that time when I watched over my mother like a brother would watch over his kid sister. And then there came the time when I was like a dad. And she was like my daughter. And that's why we had such a wonderful, wonderful time. Because all of these relationships are being added all the time. Folks, I wish for one sermon in my life you'd listen to me. I wish for one sermon in my life you'd put to practice what I'm saying to you this morning. I'm talking to women this morning whose daughters will grow up and get married and won't even call you on the telephone. I'm talking to men who'll have your sons grow up and they'll curse their dad. I'm talking to people this morning who mothers whose sons will have nothing to do with mother, and the reason is we have not learned that life is a adding dimensions to relationship.
God said to me, you're my creature, but that's not all I want. I want you as one of my people, but that's not all I want. I want you as my friend, but that's not all I want. I want you to be as one of my children and me to be as your heavenly papa. And if somehow, if every mother and daughter in this room could become someday a sister and someday friends and someday the daughter would become like a mother to her aged mother, and if somehow the mothers and sons in this room could be mother and son and then pals and then friends, then he could be an older brother and someday like a dad. And they go on, let's take a husband and wife. You get married, you're lovers. I'm not saying, and of course I'm saying, that should never stop. But there should be something. Finally got to you, didn't understand. Boy, when I see those big white teeth shining, boy, on that one, and licking his lip. But anyway, I'm not saying the lover relationship should ever stop, but if that's all you've got, it won't last long. So what do? There comes a day in a husband and a wife when they become friends. And the friend is added to the lover. And then the day comes when you become like brothers and sisters. Now, listen to me. I look at the Laertes back there. The Laertes, I mean, they've been lovers all their lives. I mean, they sit in the park and neck every night almost. I have to chase them out. But anyway, I go looking for them. But they're more than that. They're friends. But they're more than that. Now that they're up in years, they're like brothers and sisters. Not in exchange for the lover, not in exchange for the friends, but this new hue is added to the relationship. This new dimension is added to the relationship, and that's what makes lifetime relationships. Let me take, for example, the brother and sister situation. I have three sisters, two in heaven, and one on earth. Good. Now look what I found in my pocket. Four Hershey's Kisses.
Wow.
But I found the fifth one. Good night. God is creating Hershey's Kisses in my pocket. They just keep coming, man. Now I have one sister living, barely. Now she and I, as kids, were typical brothers and sisters. She got so upset with me, she wanted to commit suicide. And I got so upset with me, I wanted to commit suicide. But there came a day when my brother and my sister and I became friends. Then there became a day when I became like her older brother. And now, in many ways, I'm like her father. I offer her to her the security a father offers to a daughter. She's 8 years my senior. You see what I'm trying to say? We somehow feel like, and by the way, we get upset with each other. You're not the same you always were. Well, you're supposed to be adding different dimensions to these relationships all the time. So there comes a time in the life of a brother and sister when all of a sudden they become friends. All of a sudden this brother feels protective of her and she feels warm toward him. And they become friends. And then there comes a time when the brother... It becomes like a father. My mother had a brother like that named Uncle Roy. Uncle Roy was younger than my mother, but one of the best men I ever met in my life. Uncle Roy and my mother were, 7-8 years apart. What do you know? Just 2 years apart. But mother was the oldest of the two. When my mother got older and daddy was gone and my Uncle Roy protected my mother. I can hear him now when we go down to visit him. I could hear him through the wall saying, Costell, do you have any money?
And my mother would always say, independent little rascal, she'd always say, "Oh, Roy, we're doing fine. Costell, could I see your purse?" "Oh, I don't know where it is. He said it's over there." He'd walk over and open mother's purse and put a $20 bill in. Back when a $20 bill meant more than $200 does today, he'd put it in there. And I said to myself, that's what I think a brother ought to be. You see, somehow, if we could ever stop to realize, you know, Paul wrote Timothy and said, "Timothy, treat the younger women as sisters. Treat the older men like fathers." He said, "Treat the elder," that's a pastor, "treat the elder, the elders of the church, like a father." God said, "I want to be a father unto you. If you will come out from among them, be a separate. I want to be a father unto you." Jesus said, "You are my friends." He said, "I want more than just a God and creator, creature relationship. I want a friend relationship. I want a father-son relationship. I want a creator-creature relationship. I want a people-people relationship." God said, He said, "Let's just be to us all we can possibly be to each other." And that's what He wants us to do. God wants you to be more than just that one thing the rest of your life. Let me go into the pastor situation. People become disenchanted sometime with a pastor. And oftentimes they'll leave church. Happens to all churches. Here's why they do it. They never add any relationship except pastor. He's my pastor. So whenever he's not as good and preach as well as good as he used to, or you've heard all of his jokes and all of his sermons, you seek another pastor. But I can tell you how you can stay at that church all your life. I can tell you how you will never leave that church. If you will let a time come a few years after he becomes your pastor, when all of a sudden he becomes your friend. And then, after a while, as the Bible says, he becomes like your father. I told my staff yesterday, or Friday after the pastor school, I said, I feel in many ways like your father. I watch over you. If I see a need, I try to give it to you. I want to be like your father. But don't you see, if you come here to First Baptist Church of Hammond, and boy, for a while you say, "Boy, I like to hear that man holler." But after 5 or 6 years, you say, "Man, he gets on my nerves." If all of a sudden you can look at him and say, "I love that guy. And I'm his friend. He's more than just a man up there that preaches to me every week. I'm his friend and I love that fellow." You have then a new dimension to your relationship that will keep you happy with him. And sometimes he preaches a bad sermon. You won't say, "I think I'll move my membership somewhere." You will say, "We're friends, and a friend loveth at all times, through good sermons and bad sermons." And then there comes a time when all of a sudden you need his security. He becomes like a dad to you. And then there comes a time when he's like a pal, a buddy to you. There are people in this room this morning who in the last 29 years have been through all of those. There are people this morning, and by the way, they're never going to leave. No, they're not going to leave. They came to this church, or I came here, and I was their preacher. I was their pastor. And then one day, God said, "I want you to be more to that fellow. I want you to be a friend." Two of our young married ladies who are mothers came by, called me this morning in my office. They said, "Preacher, could we see you just a minute right quick? Could you come to your door?" And I went to the door. "Now follow me." They said, "Preacher, we just had to say hi to you this morning. I had to tell you we love you." Both of them grew up in our church. Both of them mothers, wives now. And I said to them, "It doesn't matter how old you get. You'll always be just like a couple of my kids and my young'uns." And they said, "That's the way we feel. You'll always be a young preacher to us." Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. I loved it. But don't you see what I'm trying to say? That if the more relationships you have, the better chance you got to weather the storms. And so a preacher becomes a friend, and then he becomes like a father. He kind of like a pal. Okay, illustration again. How about a dad and a son?
a dad and a son. The day needs to come when that dad and son are pals. Look, get to know your boy. Get to know him. Get to learn that there's such thing as a catcher's mitt and a first baseman's glove and a basketball goal and a football and a gun. Get to know your son. Get to be his pal. He gets 18 years old and you come to me and say, "Preacher, he's uncontrollable." Pals are not uncontrollable. You're trying to be like he was when he was 2 years old. Now, it ought to be that way. And there ought not to be ever should stop the relationship. He's my dad. I respect him as my dad. I'll obey him as my dad. But there needs to be added to that, he's my best pal. And then one day, all of a sudden, you're out there and you're playing catch together. You're throwing a football together. All of a sudden, you look at each other. You're not as young. He's not a little boy anymore, and you're not a young man anymore. And all of a sudden, he puts his hand on your shoulder and says, "Dad, you're my friend. You're my friend." So what have you done? You've added that, taken that son relationship, not left it. And you've added that pal relationship. And then you've added that friend relationship. And then as the years come and go, the boy becomes like the older brother. And then if the father lives long enough, the son becomes like his dad. He may have to provide a home for his dad. He may have to feed the one that once fed him. He may have to clothe the one that once clothed him. He may have to carry the one or push in a wheelchair, the one that used to push him in a baby buggy. I'm simply saying that that's what makes life rich. And you won't mind pushing your aged dad in a wheelchair someday if you were pals and if you were friends. But if it goes strictly from touch stealer, hush, to the wheelchair, you'll begrudge it. You'll be in a rest home someday. Life is not as complicated as we make it. We just don't realize that there's more. The first interaction and relationship that two people have with each other should not be the only one they ever have. It won't last for a lifetime. Take the matter of boss and employee. There comes a time in the life of boss when he becomes your friend. And then there comes a time he becomes your dad. This week I've been especially I've thought an awful lot about the ladies on our staff who'd never married. I thought an awful lot about Maxine Jeffries. I better not go into all of them, but Dorothy Wood and others. But I've thought an awful lot about them this week. You know what I am to them? I'm more than a boss. I'm a friend. But I'm more than that. I'm a dad. Maxine ever needs anything, she's got it. Because I'm not just a boss. You hang around our staff for a while and you'll find that we're not just boss and employees. These men on the platform, they're my buddies. They're my pals. They're my friends. They're my warts. But we're like family. Maybe you ought not to always hear us, but sometimes you ought to hear us when we get together. And you ought to heard us last night as our men met for our men's staff meeting. And it's not like a boss. Sure, every one of these men respects me as the boss. Every one of these men will do anything. They say again and again, "Preacher, whatever you say." And they respect me, but we're more than that. It can't last like that for a lifetime. You'll get tired of your boss. You want another boss. But if your boss becomes your friend and becomes your pal, you're adding relationships all the time. That's what God says He wants us to do. He wants us to become something new to Him, and He wants to become something new to us all the time. Take this matter of a friend. A friend becomes, after a while, like a brother or a sister. Take this matter of dad and daughter. A dad and a daughter. A lot of fellows are having troubles with their teenage daughters in this room this morning. Now, nobody is having serious troubles with their teenage daughters this morning who's become, before they get too far away, he becomes a pal. Look, you'd be shocked if you knew how many daughters I talk to, and I say, what's wrong? And she said, I don't even know my dad. My dad never told me I love him. He loves me. He's never hugged me. He's never taken me anywhere. I don't even know my dad. And I'll say this, hey, let me talk to him. Let me see if I can explain to him how he can become your pal and your friend. And she'll look at me with tears streaming down her cheeks, and she'll grit her teeth, and she'll say, I don't want that anymore. I wanted it for 17 years. I don't want it now. Folks, let me help you this morning. Let me help you this morning. Don't you go through life just being a mom and a dad to a son and a daughter. Be that, and never stop being that, and never stop having the respect you ought to have. But in God's name, add some things to it as you grow older. 50% of my counseling could be stopped if you'd listen to what I'm preaching this morning. I resolve when our daughters, for example, I'm talking about now the dad and the daughter. I resolve that my daughters were going to know I loved them. I've not been the kind of dad I wished I could have been because of my lot in life. But they were little tykes. We became pals and friends. And then the day comes when maybe Cindy or Linda or Becky will have an aged dad. The day may come, like tomorrow, when they have an aged dad. Maybe like today, or maybe like yesterday. And the day may come when I'll be like the child. And they'll be like the mother. I want to give you three warnings. Always be the first one. Always be the first one. Stand as you become a friend to her, still be lovers. Yeah. And then as you become a pal, still be friends. And lovers. Yeah, okay. His face sort of sunk there for a while. Warning number two, don't trade, add. Warning number three, let the light shine on each one, one at a time, while all the others still exist. This is a horrible illustration, except it illustrates. I feel great today. Other than my back, my feet, my stomach, my shoulder, my hands, my kidney, my liver, my heart, my esophagus, and a big headache and a sore throat, 103 fever, I feel great. But I feel pretty good for an old codger. That not many young whippersnappers could have gone through the last week I went through and still feel like I feel this morning. But about 2 years ago, I had a foot bothered me. I couldn't walk on it. When I got up in the morning, I had to hold on to the wall or to the furniture to rush to the bathtub and try to get some hot water on it so I could even walk on it. I thought I was going to be an invalid for 6 months. I faked it when I walked up here. But I faked it all the time unless somebody really saw me. I could fake it. Unless somebody really was with me for a while. Jack Scott took a trip with me one time, and he found out because I couldn't. I had to walk about a half mile, and I couldn't do it without limping. Then it left. If I jump on it right now, it hurts, but it's gone. The problem's gone. It's still there, but it's about 5%. So it's great. Wonderful. For 61, fabulous. I'm in a lot better shape than a 61-year-old car. But something strange happened. I said, bless God. I said, my foot's well.
And then my right knee started bothering me. I mean, I had one little piece of arthritis that didn't like to stay at home, like to travel. It went to that knee. I could hardly walk on that knee. I faked it, but for about 4 or 5 months, I thought I was going to be an invalid. I'd get up in the morning and absolutely, y'all are laughing at me. I was dying. You're not supposed to laugh at me. Cry. That's better. But, after about 5 months, it left. Oh, I can still feel it a bit, about 5% of what it was, but it's great. It's wonderful. I said, bless God, I'm not going to be an invalid. One morning I tried to put my shirt on, I couldn't get my arm up. It was my shoulder. My shoulder. I couldn't even put my shirt on. I had to learn how to put my left hand. I always put my right hand in first. Had to put my left hand in first. My coat the same way. I didn't tell anybody, but I faked it. But I thought, I'm going to be an invalid. After about 5 months, it left. Now my brain. It's gone. But that thing just... Now, every place that thing has hit me, it's left me with a little teeny discomfort occasionally, if I were to jump or run or wake up or get up or work. But it went somewhere else and then somewhere else. And this morning, I'll be honest with you, it's, as far as I'm concerned, I feel great. Just took me 10 minutes to take my first step this morning when I got up. But I don't get up in the morning. I get resurrected from the dead in the morning. But I was thinking this week, last year at pastor's school, I had a knee. I could hardly walk on for a while. 2 years ago at pastor's school, I had a foot that was tough. Now, that's sort of the way I'm saying this morning. I told you it's a horrible illustration. But that's what I'm trying to say. You see, our relationships are like that. I always have a little bit of a sore foot and a tad of a sore knee. And a little, I can raise my arm like that, glory to God, hallelujah. I can even wash my back. I don't, but I could if I wanted to. But the thing sort of looked, this thing sort of said, the foot a while, the knee a while, the shoulder a while. And that's where life is. A relationship comes. Is it a mother-father? I'm sorry, mother-daughter? Mother-son? Father-daughter? Father-son? Husband-wife? Brother-sister? There's a certain relationship that's there. And just about the time it gets to where it's hurting, it moves somewhere else. And you add to that another relationship, another dimension, another hue. And then a little later on, the light that has shined on this one and then spotlight on this one, suddenly it spotlights over here on this one. And then on this one. And then one day, life is over. And you look back at your life and you say, haven't we had a wonderful relationship through these years? Hasn't it been great? As he looks up to his wife as he goes to heaven, and says, you've been like a sister to me. You've been my best friend. You've been my pal. You've been my lover. Or as she says goodbye, she says, brother, you've been like my father as I've grown older. And we've been like, and you were like a pal before that. And we became friends before that. And we're brothers and sisters all the way through. Your life could have changed if you'd listen and practice what I preached this morning. Totally changed. Let me say it again. None of these relationships alone can last a lifetime. Alone. They can last a lifetime, but not alone. They must have a new dimension all the time. And that's what God meant when he said, I want you to be one of my people. I'm your God. You're my creature. But I want more than that. I want you to be one of my people. Then I got saved, bless God, and God said, that's wonderful. I'm enjoying being you being one of my people. But I want more than that. God says, why don't we become friends? A while ago, we were singing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. At least recently we were. And some of you just sang it. What a friend we have in Jesus. Just sang. Of course you sang it. But some of us were weeping. He's my friend. And then one day he said to me, if you'll be a separated Christian, I'll be your papa. And you can be like my son. And he's my papa. And I'm his son. I want to be to you all the relationships that a pastor is supposed to be to his people. And I want you to feel all of them. And I want in every area of your life, I want you to realize what can keep it spiced all the time. Starting with that original relationship and adding this one and this one and this one until death parts us and Jesus greets us. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please?